from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the re-wrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB and this morning we will mark the week because that is indeed what we do on Friday. We will also talk about the number of people that companies should hire to run their PR. We've got a Porsche story. What better thing would there be for Mike Hosking to talk about, and the price of butter? But before all that, don't worry if you think there's bad news everywhere you look. It's probably not true.
America's got a pile of stuff from this week. Jobs, markets, sales, industries, all going gangbusters. Who is in the White House apparently isn't stopping them. What about Australia? And this is a good news, bad news scenario for us. Once again, the headlines, well, the government is in chaos. They've lost their majority. They're bogged down in court cases over nationality. And yet, there is a jobs boom going on. They have moved on from that mining slowdown. And once again, and this is the bad news for us, we face the prospect of the brain drain. More people are starting to leave our country for Australia once again. And that's before we get to us. I mean, what a gutting number on the jobs that must have been this week for National, eh? 100,000 more jobs, highest participation rate ever, and they see it from the opposition benches. I mean, history shows you, if you deliver a strong economy, generally you get to be the government, and yet look what's happened. And I haven't even got time to touch on Europe. God, the media in Europe, have you believed that they're on the verge of collapse? Between Catalonia, the Brexit, and Greece? And yet, they too coughed up numbers this week that show growth and jobs and bright prospects. So here's the theme. Governments make a difference. Governments can cock it up or stoke it up. But governments also, by and large, aren't quite as big a deal as you might think. Certainly not as big a deal as the headline writers would have you believe. Mostly, people carry on. Mostly people make their own decisions, take their own decisions, live their own lives, chart their own reality. If you're waiting for the government to tell you what to do, where to do it, how to do it, and when to do it, then good luck to you. But the rest of us are just getting on.
Who would have guessed Mike Hosking was the man to find the silver lining behind all those grey clouds? Let's mark the week now. It's Friday. That is what we do.
Time now to mark the week. The little piece of news and current events that's more popular than a climate change visa to a fisherman from Kiribati. Purple Kumara. 9. Second best health stat this week, the life-saving tuberous root. Get a bit up here this weekend. Open classroom 6. Call me old-fashioned. But there is something structured and proper about a desk and a chair and sitting up straight and facing the front and paying attention. Speaking of education, national standards being ditched. 4. Dumb move. Parents like accountability and knowledge. League tables being ditched. 7. They were manipulated and therefore dodgy. It's not the end of the world to see them go. NCEA being reviewed. 6. Could go either way. I mean, it ain't broken, but it ain't brilliant, so the jury's out. Free education at uni next year. 3. Classic limousine left mistake. Handing stuff to kids for nothing doesn't instill a sense of responsibility and worth. If you insist on doing it, make it the last year of a degree. Make it an incentive, for God's sake. The Bark gas field, 8. Billions of dollars of jobs, thousands and thousands of jobs, billions of dollars, thousands of jobs is what I'm trying to say. So how can you say no to that? Our global gender standing, 9. Well, that's where we've ended up. 9th out of 144 countries. Not bad, eh? Perhaps those pushing those barrows suggesting we are some sort of Orwellian sexist backwater might like to celebrate the reality instead of peddling the myth. Speaking of myths, first-home buyers in the housing market, 8. Stats out this week, highest number in a decade. Isn't it inconvenient when the facts get in the way of all that spin and bollocks? Speaking of spin, Auckland City Council and their PR department, 235. God's sake. That's how many there are, and at $45 million eye-watering in their cost. It is always the way when it's someone else's money, isn't it?
So let's double down on that last issue there. The Auckland Council PR budget and staff definitely under fire from the Hosking camp this morning.
So yesterday we talked about PR, Auckland Council, $45 million, 235 corporate parrots. So we had the Public Relations Institute on, and they claimed companies of similar sizes, public or private, would be having similar numbers. So we thought, well, that's interesting. Let's test it out. So we got the big companies, gave them a call. Fonterra, Fletcher Building, Warehouse, Progressive Enterprises. Whether they've got 10,000, we don't know for sure, but they're in the realms of being the biggest companies in the country. Here's what we found out. Auckland City Council, 235, note it down, cost $45 million. Fonterra, their quote, I can tell you it's way less than Auckland Council. They won't give us actual numbers. Fletcher Building, they have 6. Warehouse Group, they have 4. Progressive Enterprises, supermarket chain, they have 3 external communications, 3 internal. Not one of them comes within a million miles of the Auckland City Council at 235. So the claim that all big companies have those sort of numbers simply doesn't stack up.
Still, they're doing a great job. I mean, we really love them.
We will...
Because that's the test at the end of the day. I mean, if the public image of the Auckland Council is as awesome as it is, then they're completely justified in hiring hundreds more people than anybody else does in the world and paying them more. When you get, do you get paid a lot, then you can buy a Porsche.
I discovered yesterday, you know I'm a car fan, I won't bore you with this, but this is a wonderful story. There's a bloke called Peter Schultz. And he died this week, and he was a German-born American executive, and he basically saved Porsche. And I didn't realise this story. So Porsche been going for many, many years, of course. But the most famous car by so far, it doesn't matter, is a thing called the 911. It is the most successful high-end sports production car in the history of cars ever. And they just recently celebrated their 50th anniversary, and they've made a million of them. And if you work out a million cars over 50 years, and these are very expensive cars, there's $250,000 car. That's the cheapest one you can buy, a $250,000 car. They go to $400,000-something. Anyway, over 50 years, they've made a million of them, 20,000 cars a year, 54 a day, 2 an hour. So you can see how fantastically successful they've been. And yet, this bloke, Peter Schultz, he arrives as CEO back in 1981. And unfortunately, as he arrives, the company for the first time ever has started to lose money. And the board panic. And they go, what the hell are we going to do? We're going to have to take this 911 and ditch it. And already the 911 was building to be one of the most iconic cars of all time. So the board takes a vote and the board go, 911's gone. So that was 1980. Think about that. 1980, one of the greatest cars in the history of the world would have been gone. Schultz goes, you know what? Talks to the people on the factory floor. He goes, you know what? We're overruling the board. They're wrong, we're right, and we're going to carry on. And here we are 50 years later, and they've built a million of them. Isn't that an incredible story? What a legacy to make a single... That would have to be one of the most significant decisions in automotive history anywhere in the world, I would have thought.
You should get one.
I should get one.
That was sort of a joke because the Hoss does drive a Porsche already. I don't think it's a 911. Wonder if their sales suffered at all with that whole planes crashing into buildings thing. Now, I've never thought about that before. Moving on quickly to the price of butter.
Hey, do you know why butter's so expensive? Supply and demand, obviously, but what I didn't realise about it is that the, because there's a massive, you would have heard in the news this morning, French are panic buying butter at the moment. They don't know what to do, you know, to make the croissants, and some bakers are starting to throw some margin, which is a catastrophe. But the fat, and this is why it's so expensive, the fat from about 20 litres of milk makes up a single block of butter. That's what two cows produce a day. You need the work of two cows per day to make a single block of butter.
Can you make that more environmentally friendly and convert it into how many sheep are required to make that much butter?
Yeah, that's what they're saying now. Milk the sheep. Milk the sheep, not the cows. 250 metric tonnes of butter is churned out at Tarapa, this Fonterra's factory, Tarapa, every day. Still not nearly enough. And that's why, and this is actually, I support butter being expensive, not because we like paying it, but because you know the reasons it's expensive is the world is desperate for it and will pay a fortune for it, and we make it. So we are in the business of making stuff to feed the world, and if they want to give us a fortune, we're more than happy to take it, downside being, of course, it's expensive locally.
To be honest, I'm not really a massive fan of your French cuisine because it's so buttery. Mm. They put butter in everything, don't they?
I tend to agree. I'm not a butter person myself, but you know, when you have a little bit of butter, you go, ooh, that's the difference, isn't it? That's the real deal. That's the difference between the margin and the butter. The butter's the real deal.
But if you're swimming around in vats of it like they seem to be in France,
yeah, there's
you lose your appreciation for it, don't
Well,
you?
Mind you, they live to a ripe old age. They smoke, they eat the croissants, they drink like fish, and they live to a ripe old age. So there's something in that, I think, isn't there?
In spite of the fact I said that I don't particularly like French food, it's actually that I don't like it. I like it less than other kinds of cuisine. But in spite of all that, just thinking about it made me super hungry, which is the way we so often end these podcasts. No different this week. I am Glenn ZB. That has been the rewrap for Friday. I'll wrap you up something tasty again on Monday. See you then.